talking about the United States of America, and we need to recognize this is not a message of yay, rah, USA, my country, good or bad, do or die, that type of thing. We're talking about the revolution before the revolution. And what we mean by that is how God used a change in conscience to shape a nation. And so tonight, a prayerful posture toward history. So tonight is not about celebrating a nation as flawless. We as Bible-believing Christians will recognize this more than most. Tonight is about thanking God for his providence and asking him to guide us again. Across these 250 years since the Declaration, our nation's story has been one of remarkable resilience, self-correction, and aspiration, striving for new. From a fragile collection of colonies to a country that expanded freedom of worship, defended human dignity, and continually worked to align itself more closely with the ideals all men are created equal, the United States has grown through trial, repentance, and renewal. We've weathered wars, internal divisions, economic upheavals, and cultural storms yet again and again. The American people have returned to the founding conviction that liberty is a trust from God and must be stewarded with courage. So it's a history not of perfection, but of perseverance. We've seen a nation learning generation by generation to live up to the light that was first kindled in 1776. So let's approach our history with gratitude, with sobriety, with hope, not denial and despair, which we hear around a lot. First of all, then, the founder's most radical idea, human dignity under God. We know, Genesis 1, 26, 27, God said, let us make man in our image. Before there was man, God said, let us make man. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. So today they say man is just to be a steward of these animals. We're to be a servant of these animals. He says, no, you're supposed to rule them. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Again, we read in Acts chapter 17, 26, Paul talking to Grecians in Athens, that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, beginning and end of countries, and the bounds of their habitation. God set those things up. And Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about law keeping. So 250 years ago, three revolutionary convictions shaped the founding. People are made in God's image, therefore no king owns them. This was a commonly thought thing. If you have a country, you have a king. Usually the oldest tribal leader was the kin became king, and his will was it. He just said it, and you had to do it. The founders were educated men. Back in a time when they didn't have the internet to check on things, actually had to read books, and they read the politics, the theories of politics by Aristotle in the original Greek. That was part of their education. And they read about the Republic of Rome in the original Latin, the historians. If you are familiar with Julius Caesar's, the play, Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, and Brutus is the good guy who comes in to kill Julius Caesar. The reason behind that is that they had a republic. That is the concept that no one was the emperor, no one was the king, that the republic was representative of the people. But Julius Caesar was willing to become king, and Brutus decided that he would join in the assassination of him, even though he knew him personally. They weighed these things. They had come from a place where the king had a good mood and people lived in bad mood and people were killed. Nobody could say, "What are you doing?" "Well, you shut up, I'm the king, you know." And they said, "We don't want that here." But this is revolutionary, truly revolutionary. Liberty is not granted by rulers, it is endowed by the Creator. So government exists to secure God-given rights, not manufacture them. We do not get our rights from the government. This was political theory based on a deep moral awakening. We see that the Declaration did not create human dignity. It recognized what God had already declared. Then think of the real miracle, the nation built on self-correction, where we analyze ourselves, you see. Most nations are grown based on ethnicity, geography, and dynasty. The United States, instead, was built on ideas, crafted out of political concepts, debated. America's greatness has been evidenced by its willingness to be corrected by truth. Slavery, for instance, was ended in our country not by campaigning racial activists, but by Christian thinkers who convinced a nation. Here, the white people had the power and the guns. It was not black people taking over, you see. They got their freedom from the white people who said they ought to be free. Now, while the South hated to see the change because their entire economic structure was built on slavery, many in the South personally agreed that slavery was a sin against God's humanity. And so the country became self-correcting. So why should American Christians be grateful today? Let's offer praise to God for three praiseworthy blessings. We have the freedom to worship without state control. I don't know if you think about it, but in most countries, the church is part of the state. The church is under the thumb of the state. Back years and years ago when we had visiting people from Russia, from the church, Russian Orthodox, and people were saying, "Well, they're working for the government." And they said, "Come on now, they're the church. You know, that doesn't make any sense." They didn't understand that the taxes paid for the church and the state owned it. So they were subversive by definition. So we have the freedom to worship without state control. We have the freedom to preach the gospel openly, though being challenged today. We have the freedom to live out conscience without fear of kings, mobs, or ideology. And that's being tested, that's being pressed, but it's being upheld. So we thank God for a nation where the church is not considered a function of the state. America is exceptional and should be honored because it was founded on a God-oriented vision of human dignity and individual liberty, and remains protected by a constitution that limits government and unleashes personal responsibility. That you can make happen what you want to happen. Let me interject here a summary of Rush Limbaugh's key points on his famous lecture, his famous discussion of American exceptionalism. Why is America exceptional? He says, number one, American exceptionalism is rooted in the founding design of government. The United States was the first nation in history built on a constitution that made the individual, not the ruler, the central authority. The government then existed to protect God-given rights rather than grant them. We don't get our rights from the government. They're to protect our rights. This unleashed people to be the best they could be, created unprecedented human flourishing. This is why the world takes a stand against the United States. This is why the world is always pressing for the climate change accords and all this stuff. Anything that will put a limit on the United States. Number two, the founding truths must be actively taught and defended. Because this is the way we started, we find that those who are against America have actively worked to not teach and not defend the founding truths. So Limbaugh warned that American history, and especially the founding principles, is being misrepresented or left untaught. This creates cultural confusion about what makes America unique. Thirdly, the battle over American exceptionalism is cultural, not just political. They're taking political sides, but it's a cultural thing. Today's debates about American exceptionalism reflect a constant cultural struggle over the nation's identity. Some voices clearly seek to rewrite history, for anybody who knows what the history is, to diminish America's moral foundations, making it harder to preserve the founding vision. The fourth is exceptionalism is moral, not nationalistic. This is not so much saying America is exceptional, meaning that we're the only, that's our nation, so we're going to stand for it. Essentially, American exceptionalism is not arrogance, but a recognition of the moral structure of the American founding, which involves equality under God, liberty as a divine endowment, God-given, you see, and government limited by the rule of law, government limited. And the fifth and final point that he made was America's founding principles provide a moral compass for self-correction for a country. Although not always perfectly applied, the founding ideals themselves contain the mechanism for national renewal. Because the nation is built on ideas rather than ethnicity or monarchy, it can and should return to its founding truths when it strays. So our call tonight, let us pray that this light continues. I call on us to take up three prayer burdens. Let us pray for national humility, that leaders and citizens return to God-given dignity and responsibility. Let us pray for moral clarity, that truth is not drowned out by noise, anger, or revisionism. Let us pray for the church, aside from the country, you see, that we stand bravely on our God-given freedoms with courage and compassion. The founders lit a candle. Only God can keep it burning. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Jehovah. And then blessed is the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Paul writing to Timothy, First Timothy for the church, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and the all here is all kinds of men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that, for the purpose of the prayer, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I interpret this as just leave us alone. Let us worship God as the Bible says, as we know we should. So, 250 years.